I think for me, it's always when I'm standing on a corner and I see, you know, one of our runners go by and I say, you know, pass those kids.
A special report on a local coach's last race. And he has feathers, a beak, and wings. But the next prospective resident at the Eagle Foundation thinks he's one of us. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The birds living at the Bald Eagle Foundation are there for a variety of disabilities. Broken wings, legs that healed wrong, habituation to captivity, missing eyes. But the next bird to possibly join the in-house ranks in Haines has quite a different dysfunction. Experts suspect he thinks he's a human being.
If he is actually an imprint, then he thinks he's a person, or we're ravens, or I'm not sure how they interpret things, but...
Corey Gaskell, an intern at the foundation, says they sent a raven from Haines to Juneau to determine if the bird is in fact imprinted. That's scientific for socialized to people. If it's not an imprint, there's no fancy word for what he is. Corey says he'd just be a bum.
We sent a raven up to Juneau. We believed it was an imprint. They've been working with that bird to try and determine if it actually is an imprint, and if they decide that he is, he will be returned to us. So we tentatively have one mew set aside for a raven, but we may decide that he's just a bum and he's not really imprinted. He's just getting an easy meal.
It took 4 visits from the confused raven, some on his own will, for the foundation to finally ship the wayward bird out of town for a professional evaluation.
Someone dropped him off here. They had the same problem as that. They were out in one of the parks, I think they're out in Chilcat, and they thought he was injured, and they walked right up to him, and they picked him up, and then they brought him to us, and we thought he may have had an injured wing, and so we evaluated him, and he was perfectly fine. He was just a little skinny, so we fed him, and we turned him loose, and he would either come back to us under his own power, or he would go find someone else. They would think he was injured and bring him back to us. So after about the 4th time he came back to us, we sent him to Juneau. They're evaluating him now.
The Juneau Raptor Center is the nearest official rehabilitation center to get a certified determination on the raven's particular issue. The foundation isn't authorized to do that. Gaskell and other people who study birds explain that ravens are social creatures, and smart ones too. They learn very quickly who has the food.
Because it's a raven and they're social and they'll work together, they'll put him in with a flock of ravens and let him join their flock, and then they'll turn the whole flock loose. They'll also put a band on him so that they can identify him easily, and then they'll turn the flock loose, and if he comes back, then they'll know he's an imprint, because there's no reason for him to come back when he has a flock to hang out with. If he's imprinted, he's socialized to people and not other ravens, so if he is an imprint, he'll return to them because he thinks he's a person, so that's who he's going to want to flock with.
Gaskell joined the foundation crew in May. She's seen imprinting at the Raptor Center in Auburn, Alabama, where she came from. There aren't ravens there, but turkey vultures are also smart, social birds.
People would find babies, and they're cute when they're babies, so they would start feeding them, and then the baby would decide it was a person, and then when it grew up and, quote-unquote, turned ugly, and they tried to get rid of it, then it wouldn't leave.
She's been helping Haines staff with projects like working with the birds, building the new eagle enclosure, and preparing part of the Henderson farm for eagle flight enclosures. Now, she's helping welcome the latest bird residents.
We've been getting our 2 new birds settled in. We have a new bald eagle named Dr. Scott. He came from Bird TLC in Anchorage. He had a broken wing, and it healed incorrectly, and so his elbow joint, the joint is not together, so he looks great, but he can't fly.
Add that guy to the new unnamed great gray owl, Hunter the barred owl, Sarah the great horned owl, Zilla the Lanner-Saker falcon, and Sir George the bald eagle. That makes 6 birds. But that's not it.
We also have 2 new birds who are going to be heading our way shortly, a red-tailed hawk and an eastern screech owl, and they are both coming from Auburn, Alabama. They're both have some kind of eye problem, so that they cannot be released.
With a growing family, the space is growing too. The number of mews or rooms for birds has grown from 4 to 9 in the past few months. If the raven with the identity crisis returns to Haines, he'll take the last open mew there.
We've been busy expanding. I mean, the new sections come along great. We've got the drywall in, and that's come along good. We've got 6 new mews for birds, and 2 of them are now filled, but it's been moving along pretty steadily, and it's good to have the new birds because, you know, a lot of people get to see plenty of eagles flying around, but you know, how many people get to see an owl up close, because they're usually out at night and they're really well camouflaged, so most people don't ever get to see them.
KHNS and the Hainesboro School District partnered to offer two high school internships this semester. Haines senior Blake Hamilton is one of the radio station interns and produced the following coverage of local teams competing at the state cross-country meet.
This past weekend, Haines sent the girls' cross-country team and three individual boys to the state competition in Anchorage. This was the last meet for the three seniors on the team, as well as Coach Heather Lendy.
Well, we had three boys, senior Blake Hamilton, and junior Quinn Asquith-Hines and sophomore Corey Piper qualified for the state meet. And then we took six girls, so a full girls team, just about seven is actually what we're allowed to take, but we didn't have seven that were quite fit and able to go.
For the girls team, this season was an important building year for the young team to gain valuable experience.
Well, the girls' team was a ninth out of 10 teams. We knew that going into it, that they weren't a particularly strong team statistically. They're, aside from Jolene, they're relatively newcomers, and it's really a building year. They were fortunate to be able to qualify because this year in the region, we were allowed to take three teams.
The three individual boys that participated in the race showed a strong performance.
Blake Hamilton had a terrific run. He ran 18:14 and was 18th. You know, breaking in the top 20 at state is really a big deal. And it shows that, you know, you're a real mature runner, serious runner, a lot of training, a lot of guts, and a course that, you know, with 100 and I think it was 101 runners in the boys' race, and they were, you know, the best in the state. And so to finish that high is really, really great. And Quinn Asquith, Hines was right behind him, and I think Quinn was in 22nd with an 18:21. And then Corey Piper, in his first state meet, was 43rd in 18:59.
The new course at Bartlett High School was a challenge for runners all across the state.
It's a full 5K loop in one loop, which is unusual. Usually our courses are two or three loops. And so it's a you know, beginning and ending loop. And it's very hilly and twisty and turny and nice and wide and through the woods and very challenging. I think clearly the most challenging course that we run all season. And I think that's great.
Whether you are running, watching, or coaching, there's always excitement to be found at a cross-country race.
Watching the kids come up and down the hills is always very exciting. The start at the state meet is always something. I think for me, it's always when I'm standing on a corner and I see, you know, one of our runners go by and I say, you know, pass those kids. Go ahead. You know, they're right up in front of you. Pass five kids. And when it happens, it just makes you want to cheer.
Next season has a positive outlook. Both teams have learned a lot over the course of this season and are ready to work hard next year.
I think the outlook for next year is going to be great. We're only losing three runners, and we're losing seniors Blake Hamilton and Jolene Lemieux and Hunter Badgley, who's been a real nice presence on the team for 4 years and has developed into a really fine young runner himself. So the rest is all new, pretty much. Even some of the upperclassmen are relatively new. We have new sophomores or juniors. So I think that I think they're going to have a great year next year.
I couldn't agree more. Reporting for KHNS, this is Blake Hamilton. Skagway also participated in the cross-country event in Anchorage. Two girls represented Skagway, with one finishing in the top 10.
Caleb finished ninth, which is good. She medaled. I think that was important for her to medal. She ran in fourth or fifth place for most of the race. She finished well.
Rory Lieberton was the second Skagway cross country runner.
Rory ran her foot had got a little bit worse in some regions, and so she ran most of the race in a lot of pain. She was really hurting with like a mile left to go, and she still beat about half the people running. We're gonna have to have her take off a couple weeks before she starts to play volleyball.
That was Skagway coach Kent Fielding. He reports that the course was, in addition to being new, hilly, and a little muddy.
The course we'd never seen before, so it was an interesting course. It was hilly, kind of expect it would be, being ski trails, but extremely muddy. Seeing a course for the first time is always a challenge, and we didn't get up there until about 8 o'clock on Friday, so we were walking the course in the dark on Friday night, which was a good thing to do because I found out that Caitlin did not bring her spikes. The course was so muddy that, I kind of felt that she needed spikes. I mean, she would have slipped and fell all over the place without them. So we had a frantic search for spikes on Friday night and Saturday morning.
With the cross-country season over, Skagway is ready to move forward with its other high school sports. Coach Fielding and the runners on the team are already setting goals for track and cross-country running next year.
It'll be interesting to see where we go from here as a school. I've talked to Roy about next year and what she needs to do, to run well next year. And of course, healing that foot is the first thing. But we're going to have both her and Caitlin are going to come out, and we're going to work hard, really, really hard in track, and expect a good track season. And then we're going to continue that track season into cross country for Rory next year, and see what she can do in the regions next fall.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Blake Hamilton.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. Thanks for getting your news on KHNS. We're glad you're listening.